March madness and the arrival of spring. Now is the winter of our discontent, or at least it feels like it. Shakespeare's Richard III perhaps captures something of this winter's particular malaise that, though it may not have affected all of us directly yet, nevertheless hangs over us like an insidious cloud. That cloud, of course, is corona-lined, and has also deluged us through the course of the winter with more water than we know what to do with. Much of the countryside remains sodden and muddy, and despite checking the weather forecast regularly, I have been caught out on a number of walks and soaked to the bone. The mind's eye scans hopefully for signs of spring, though it can feel like two steps forward and one back at this time of year. Looking over a large arable field recently, the new crop providing a shallow, even sward of green, my eyes settled on a couple of brown lumps. Barely higher than the short blades of new shoots, there was something that made me linger on them. Maybe it was the smoother shape or the warmer brown tones than the other clods in the field. Even so, I moved as if to go, but some naturalist's impulse stopped me, and instead I zoomed my camera in on the nearest lump, just in case. As I did so, I was startled by an eye looking back at me from the brown lump. Still finding it hard to accept that this was a living being, I realised that this innocuous pile was a brown hare, so flattened that it appeared to have taken molten form, sinking in amongst the soil's little divots and stones. Needing proof, I edged forward to within 20 metres, until it eventually sprang up, assuming its full stature, and lolloped off and away across the field. Pausing to look back at me, the hare stood tall and upright on its haunches. A truly remarkable transmogrification. It's easy to assume that hares are just big rabbits, and while they are members of the same family, you only have to look into the eye of a hare to know you are looking at a very different beast. It is nothing like the round, black button eye of startled bunnies. There is something Jurassic about a hare's eye, the amber orb with large black pupil that meets our stare, hints at depth and an ancient intelligence. I knew the hare was watching me long before I had dismissed its adobe qualities. It possessed the quiet confidence of a creature secure in its own abilities to subsume itself into the landscape, and failing that, to run up to 45 miles per hour if need be. Hares are rarely seen in winter, and I have occasionally surprised one quietly hiding out in a wood or copse. Their presence in the field, out in the open, signals the arrival of spring, and in many ways the hare's transformation before my very eyes from earthen lump to living form embodies the advance of spring all around us. Though the hares I watched did not show any hints of March madness, I'm sure that in my absence they have leapt and boxed in bouts of spring zeal. Their joyous boldness breaks that ennui of winter and declares the sap is rising in plant and beast alike. It is not a moment too soon and provides at least a little solace in this winter of discontent. As blackbirds strike up their mellow notes and blossom breaks on blackthorn and cherry, the arrival of spring will hopefully tide us through any feelings of being cooped up. Hopefully we too will find an outlet for a little March madness and exuberance, so that we can declare with Richard III that now all the clouds that lowered upon our house in the deep bosom of the ocean buried.